Let me invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 1. And as you're turning to the book of Acts, let me ask you a question. What would happen today if the Lord Jesus came before this message was over? What do you think would happen to your life? What would be the reality? Better than 2,000 years ago, outside of Jerusalem, there was a man that was taken to be hung on the cross. But he wasn't just any ordinary man. He was God. He was God in the flesh. His name, Jesus Christ, and you know what happened to him. They crucified him, and one man on the right, one on the left, and even the soldier stood beside and said, "Surely this was the Son of God." But Jesus' crucifixion didn't stop there. Jesus died, and 3 days later, he rose again that we celebrated this past week on that first resurrection morning. And he told the disciples that he would meet them in Galilee. But Jesus didn't stop there. Some period of time later, about 40 days later, the Bible says that Jesus gathered outside of Jerusalem and this took place. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Spirit has given commandments unto the apostles which he has chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, "You have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence." When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And he said unto them, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put into his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld him, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were looking steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." I want you to listen carefully to verse 11 one more time. "Which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." You and I know Jesus was crucified on a cruel cross. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. Joseph of Arimathea asked for the body of Jesus Christ and took Jesus to his tomb and placed Jesus' body in the tomb. And you and I know that 3 days later that Jesus came out resurrected, glorified, and by many infallible proofs, the Bible says, there were many who saw the resurrected Christ. Paul made it very clear. He said, "As though I was one born out of due season, I had the chance to see him, see this resurrected person, to see the resurrected Christ." But it didn't stop there. As Jesus walked out and ascended from the Mount of Olives across from Jerusalem, he told to those that were watching through the angels, he said, "I want you to be mindful of this." Those angels looked at the disciples and said, "Why are you looking at this Jesus ascending back into heaven? Because I want you to understand, this same Jesus that you have seen go back into heaven is going to come again in like manner. The Bible makes it very clear that the Jesus that was crucified, the Jesus that died on the cross, the Jesus that was buried in a borrowed tomb, the Jesus that was resurrected, the Jesus that ascended from the Mount of Olives, the Bible makes it abundantly clear that this same Jesus is coming back again. But I want to ask you this question. Are you getting ready for Christ's coming? When it comes to Jesus coming, are you preparing for his coming? I want to share with you three things this morning about Christ's coming that you need to be aware of, that you need to know, because there is a wind of change happening across the land. There is a wind that is changing in the land. Something is going on in the climate of not only the United States, but I really believe in America. The Bible makes it very clear that when you hear the preachers of God preach more and more about a certain issue, know that it is coming. The Bible makes it very clear you and I need to be very sensitive to the servants of God and the prophets of God that preach on the second coming of Christ. Someone shared with me this morning that one of the leading preachers in America this morning on the West Coast was preaching about the second coming of Christ. In our revival meeting coming up next week, in 30 years of being a pastor, I've never asked an evangelist to preach on specifically the rapture and the second coming, but that's exactly what our evangelist is going to be doing. And this morning, I'm going to be dealing with getting ready for the second coming, because you and I need to be getting ready for the coming of Christ, the rapture of the church first, and then the coming of Christ. You know, if there's one thing that men and women struggle with really believing and really latching their heart into, it is this awesome and wonderful reality of the second coming of Christ. You know, Jesus' ascension, you know, the disciples, they looked at Jesus as he was going back into heaven, floating, defying their eyes, defying what they knew of the law of gravity, defying everything they believed, you know, when it came to the laws of gravity and suspension and all of that. But the angel said, I want you to be mindful that this same Jesus that is going up is going to come back down again. Now, I want you to understand some realities about the second coming of Christ. The Bible makes it clear all throughout the Old and the New Testament that Jesus Christ is coming again. Did you realize there are 1,845 Old Testament references and a total of 17 Old Testament books that give the promise of the coming of Christ? Are you aware that of the 260 chapters in the entire New Testament, there are 318 references to the second coming of Christ? In other words, one out of every 30 verses in the New Testament refers to the second coming of Christ. Do you realize that for every prophecy there is of the first coming of Christ, there are 8 prophecies for the second coming of Christ? God knew that on the timetable of his calendar, that the second coming of Christ was going to be, to some people, very hard to believe, very hard to accept. And you know, the Bible makes it very clear in his word that it's going to happen. Now, while, you know, we're limited by time, the Bible makes it very clear that's not the case with Jesus. The Bible makes it very clear that sometime on the calendar of God, that Jesus Christ has been ascended back to the Father. He's sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. But the Bible says that someday Jesus Christ is going to come back. The Bible says the coming of Christ is sure. You cannot live as a child of God without believing in the coming of Christ. We live in a world of atheism. We live in a world of agnosticism. We live in a world of unbelief that doesn't believe in such a thing. But the Bible says he's coming again. You know, when you stop and think about it, this same Jesus, the Bible says, promised 2,000 years ago, who said, I'm going to come back. Now think about it a moment. If Jesus promised he's going to come back and doesn't come back, number one, he's a liar. If Jesus promised he's going to come back and he doesn't do it, he's violated prophecy after prophecy after prophecy, and you and I don't have anything to believe in, because this book is just a book of untruths if Jesus Christ doesn't come back again. But listen to what Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, while the Bible makes it very clear that there will be the rapture that precedes the second coming of Christ, the Bible makes it abundantly clear over and over and over and over again that Jesus Christ is coming. What does that mean? That means that if the rapture is today, then if you're here without Jesus Christ, or if your family's without Jesus Christ, probably they'll die without Christ. You see, his coming has been spoken of all throughout the ages, all throughout Scripture, all throughout the centuries. The Bible has constantly told people, pointed people to the second coming of Christ. There's not an honest student of the Word of God, even an honest theologian. Now, they may differ a little bit on some of the avenues, but they all believe and know that there's a second coming of Christ. There is something deep inside of you that knows this world is not all there is. Now, somebody would say, why is Jesus Christ going to come back again? Surely he's come one time. The Bible says he's going to come and rule on this earth. But why is he going to come back? Surely he's the God of heaven. He's the God of the galaxies. But he is going to come back and rule in that domain where it appeared that he was defeated. It appeared that Jesus was defeated at the cross. It appears that the world is going any way that it wants. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ is coming back. Acts chapter 1 verse 11. Thessalonians makes it clear. Corinthians makes it clear. Revelation makes it clear that Jesus Christ is coming back. His coming is sure. And friend, here's the reality. If you are found lost, you will end this life without Christ. The Bible says not only is his coming sure, the Bible says his coming is going to be swift. You know, whenever you look in Scripture, the Bible makes it very clear that Jesus Christ's coming is going to be swift. You know, there is a reality about you and me that we can find ourselves off guard to what really is going on. Do you remember on September the 11th, 2001 at 8:46 a.m. where you was and what you was doing? You never would have anticipated or dreamed that two World Trade Centers would have been attacked and that 2,645 people would have lost their lives. You would not have dreamed, and whenever you watched the TV, and probably you found out rather quickly, and you knew where you remember where you was. I remember exactly where I was. I was standing holding two glasses of orange juice because my wife and I was on vacation, and Stephanie, and I just looked, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And all of a sudden came flashing across the screen, America under attack. Everybody in America was caught off guard. Everybody in the country was caught off guard. There was not a single person that anticipated what was getting ready to happen and what did happen. Two jets crashing into the World Trade Center, one in the Pentagon, another that crashed just outside in a community in Pennsylvania. And here is the sobering and the significant point. All of a sudden, it happened. All of a sudden, in a moment, faster than what we could really think of, that situation took place. The World Trade Center was bombed. Lives were lost. And we stood or sat, watched, dumbfounded, realizing we was in a different era than we'd ever been before. And here is my point in the whole thing of saying what I just said. Nobody knew what was going to take place. Nobody had any idea. You was living your life, usually like you did the day before, and like you did the day before that, like you did the day before that. The Bible makes it very clear. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 27, the sobering truth of God's word is this. There is going to come a time that the Bible says that the coming of Christ is going to be like lightning. For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I don't know when it's going to be, and you don't know when it's going to be, but the Bible says it's going to be like lightning. It's going to be here, and it's that, and then it's done. The Bible makes it very clear in 1 Thessalonians 5:2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. Listen, here's the reality. The Bible says in Noah's time, that there was a world of people living and didn't have any dream or imagination that the world was getting ready to be flooded. They didn't have any idea that the Lord was going to destroy the world with the flood. Here's what Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And let me tell you what makes it so much more interesting. They don't listen to preachers anymore. They didn't listen to Noah. Listen, my mind is to proclaim the truth. If anybody listens, if anybody doesn't listen, but I'm to herald the truth, it's coming. I'm to tell you the truth, and you're to be aware that it's coming. Whether you're ready or not, it's going to come. Whether you're saved or unsaved, he is going to come. It is on the calendar of God. We're closer now than we was last week. We were closer last week than we were the week before. The Bible says it's going to come again. Listen, the Bible says in the times of Noah, people were living according to the flesh. They were living in disbelief of God. Think about it a moment. What must society be like for only 8 people to be saved? Only 8 people were rescued in the ark. There were hundreds alive. Why didn't hundreds go in? Because they didn't believe. They didn't believe in the servant of God. They didn't believe in the message of God's servant. They didn't believe that it was going to happen. But the Bible says it's going to take place. The Bible says the coming of Christ is not only sure, but the Bible says it's swift. Jesus will come for his church. The Bible says those who are heaven born will be heaven bound. You and I, if you're a child of God, the Bible says there's going to be a catching away of the church called the rapture. That could happen in any moment. There is no prophecy that has to be fulfilled for the rapture of the church, meaning that before this message is over, there could be the rapture of the church. The Bible says, and then Christ is going to come. Listen to Jesus' word about his return. If you're not sure that Jesus is going to come quickly, I want you to listen to Jesus' personal words about his coming. Revelation 3:11, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Revelation 22:7, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Revelation 22:12, "And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Do you get a clue that Jesus makes it clear that he's going to come and he's going to come quickly? You know, the reality of it is, it's amazing that even sometimes believers aren't really expecting it. But listen to what Jesus said. And I want to give you a clue to the word quickly. I thought, now, Lord, you're reminding us that you're going to come quickly. But exactly what are you saying in that word quickly? I want you to listen to the literal definition of quickly. Literally meaning, I'm going to come by surprise and I'm coming lightning fast. By surprise, lightning fast. That's what the Bible says Jesus' coming is going to be like. As I said, we live in a world of atheism and agnosticism and unbelief and rebellion and anarchy against God and all who are redeemed of God. But the Bible makes it very clear. You know, here is something you found out on 9/11. All of our missiles did us no good on that day of surprise. All our armament did us no good. Now, we were going to fight somebody because we were going to vindicate those innocent lives, and that's as it should be. But here's the reality. A world of millions of people was absolutely devastated because we were caught off guard. Now listen, friends, that's just a human being operating. Jesus said, no man's going to know the day or the hour that I come. No man's going to know when he is going to come again. The Bible says it's sure. The Bible says it's swift. But the Bible also says his coming is serious. Listen to the words of Jesus as he speaks to his disciples. In John 14, he says, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." Now, to every saint of God that's walking obediently to God, here's what you're thinking. Man, Lord, come on, come on. I want you to come, Lord. I'm ready to go right now. I'm anxious for you to come. You ever do something in your house when you was a kid and your parents give you orders and you obeyed them and you did what they said? You said, man, I can't wait for mom and dad to get back. I can't wait for mom and dad to get back. You know, sometimes mom and dad would leave and leave my sister and me to do the dishes. And sometimes we'd do them real good and we'd wash and dry. And one would wash and one would have to dry and put up. And we'd have to sweep the kitchen and all that. And we'd get done and we'd do what we should. And all of a sudden I say, I wish they'd hurry up and get back because I wanted them to inspect the kitchen. I wanted them to inspect the dishes. I wanted them to look. I wanted them to see I did a good job. And they would come back and mom would maybe go through the kitchen, look at it, and she'd brag on us. I wasn't a bit afraid of her coming. Some of you are. Some of you are afraid of if the Lord comes because you don't want the Lord to see what you're involved in. You don't want Jesus to see what's going on in your life. You're rationalizing away all your obedience. I'm here to tell you, friend, when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to stand before a preacher anymore. You're not going to have a preacher to declare anything. You're going to have the Lord Jesus Christ as your judge. And the Bible makes it very clear that his coming is serious. Listen to what he says in Revelation 22, 12 again. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man as his work shall be. Do you hear those words? He said, I'm going to reward you as your work shall be. Think about it. To that person who's lost, rejected Jesus Christ, chosen not to place their faith in Christ, if that's you, friend, I'm here to tell you, you have nothing positive to look forward to unless you repent. The Bible makes it clear that there's going to come a time in your life you're not only going to die, but you're going to experience the second death. If you're here without Jesus Christ, the Bible says you're spiritually dead. That means you can't relate to God. You can't hear the voice of God. That is, you don't want to hear the voice of God. And the only thing he'll tell you is that you're a sinner. You need to repent. But the Bible says if you're lost, there's going to come a time out there in the future that you're going to be raised from the dead. But you're going to be raised from the dead to die a second death. Because the Bible says in the book of Revelation, and whosoever's name was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I know that's not user-friendly terminology, and I recognize that. But let me ask you a question. When did God ever give us a right not to tell the truth? When did God ever give us a right not to speak the truth? You see, here's the reality. The Bible says his coming is serious. We live in a world of people have changed their belief, and they believe about anything. You can find anybody to believe about anything. But I'm here to tell you, the sovereign God has been eternal holy God. He is eternal holy God. He will be eternal holy God for all of eternity. You will never move the sovereign God from his throne. He stands forever the sovereign of the universe. And the Bible says, he says through his servants, through the ages, his coming is going to be very serious. It's going to be very serious to the unbeliever. Because he's going to know he's without hope. That unbeliever, and the Bible says it's going to be the masses. There's going to be a majority of people that die lost. And I think there's going to be more people that you and I may even know that are church members that are going to die lost. They have some experience, but it's never been a genuine salvation experience. It's never been something, it's been some type of experience, but it's not been a true, genuine salvation experience. The Bible makes it very clear. Because the Bible says in Revelation 20:15, the very word of holy God, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Christ's coming is so serious that he and he alone will evaluate the totality of your life and mine. God's not going to let a prophet evaluate your life. He's not going to let an angel evaluate your life. It's going to be done by Jesus Christ himself. Because he knows you and knows me completely. You know, the Bible makes it very clear. It's going to be serious to believers. Because the Bible makes it clear that believers don't respond to the gospel with the same degree of devotion. Why does one believer serve the Lord God with all of his heart, and another believer, if he can get by with 10, 20% devotion, he'll do it? But the Bible makes it very clear that those individuals are going to stand. It's going to be a serious day. Paul declares in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, uses an example from real life. Talks about two men. Both of them are saved. The final outcome, they're saved. But one of them stands in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his life has been a life of honor, holiness, obedience. And the Lord is going to reward him abundantly. Paul makes it very clear that both the men are saved. And then there's this other person that's lived his life sort of like wood, hay, and stubble. And I say it something like this. Here's that person. He's lived his life. He's been saved, but he's really just sort of used salvation as a fire escape. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. I pray the Spirit of God etches this into every one of us. When Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, for your soul, and shed his life's blood for you, he didn't die so you can live your life any old way. He didn't die so you could live a life of leisure. You could live a life of relaxation. So you could, you know, use the church when you wanted to and then live for yourself any way you wanted to. Listen, some believers throw away faithfulness. You know what they throw it away for? They throw it away for recreation. Well, I don't have time to serve the Lord. I wish I could tell you how many times I've heard people echo in my ear, "I wish I could, Pastor, but I just don't have time." You know what they're basically saying? I'm not going to serve the Lord. Here's what I'm going to do with my life. You're not going to talk me into serving the Lord. And so I just let them go. Just let them go, and they live a life of entertainment. They live a life of recreation. They get down to the end of their life, and a lot of these people, I can tell you this, they're scared half to death when they die. They'll call me to their side and they'll say, "Pastor, pray for me." And I'll look back at their life and I'll think, "I can pray with you, but you're scared to death because you need to be scared to death." I want to tell you this, on your dying bed, when you get ready to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, you've wasted your one God-given life. You need to be scared to death, even if you're a child of God. You know why? Because he's going to evaluate you for the totality of your saved life. You've lived your saved life. You've used excuse after excuse. You've decided, I don't really have time. Listen, the Bible makes it very clear. The Lord Jesus expects every single one of us. Now, this will be hard for you to amen, but I'm going to say it, and I want you to listen to it. Because I'm going to be gone someday, and I'm going to be with the Lord. But I want you to listen to this real carefully. God expects every single saint to be obedient to him. Amen? And that includes every one of us, starting here at this pulpit. Because you see, the Bible makes it clear that he's coming again. You know, because he's coming, think about it a minute. I shared with our Sunday school class this morning, I said, think of seven people you'd never see again if the Lord came in the rapture. Think of seven people that you'd never probably see again. They're living in unbelief, and you're not praying for them. And you're not wanting not to pray for them, but just life has gotten so busy. Life has gotten so, and Satan has allowed busyness and things to creep into your life. But think about it for a moment. You stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I stand before him, you stand before him. You stand and you give account. I don't know what his voice is going to be like, but the Bible says it's going to be like the sound of many waters. It's going to be the most beautiful voice in the world. It's going to be the most wonderful, awesome voice. But when he says, Benny Bush, I'll stand before the presence of holy Christ, and I will, without your presence there, without my wife's presence there, without my daughter's presence there, I will stand and I will give account for the totality of my life. I'll give account of my life and my actions and my walk and my behavior. But you know what? I'll give account, but here's the reality. I'll know that I'm redeemed. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You know, the Bible makes it clear. His coming is serious. Think about it for a moment. From outside Jerusalem, the Bible says that they ascended, or they watched Jesus ascend back into heaven. And as they watched Jesus ascend back into heaven, can you just imagine what they felt in their heart? We've never seen this before. And here are the angels saying, He's coming back. He's coming back. 2012 years later, maybe eight. But I want you to get this picture. There is a song. It goes something like this. Someday, the marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the streets. The builder's tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labor. In the courtroom, no more debate. Work on earth has been suspended as the king comes through the gate. Someday, happy faces will line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed, broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he has freed. Little children and the aged, hand in hand, stand all aglow. Those who were crippled, broken, ruined, clad in garments white as snow. I can hear the chariots rumble. I can see the marching throng. Bible also says regal robes are now unfolding. Heaven's grandstand all in place. Heaven's choir is now assembled as they start to sing Amazing Grace. Ah, listen to me, friend. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Listen carefully to the Word of God. Listen carefully. The Bible says, the trump of God shall sound. Is a trumpet sounding? The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive shall be caught up to meet him in the air. But now I want to ask you this question. If that was the trumpet of God today, would it have found you ready or not? Would you be saved or would you be left behind? What is the Spirit of God saying to your heart? Father, we thank you that someday you're coming again. The trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And Father, you remind us we're going to have a honeymoon with Jesus. But Father, this morning, I pray for that person that's not right with God. I pray for that person that doesn't know Jesus. I pray for that person that doesn't know the Lord. I pray for that person that's not right with you. I pray for that person who, when they heard that trumpet, if it would have been the real one, they would be left behind. Father, you said it's happening. You said it's coming. And Lord, you remind us there'll be a world of unbelievers. There'll be a world of people left behind. the rapture, but Lord, you remind us you're coming. Father, I pray for that person here this morning that is not spiritually prepared. They're still dead in their relationship with Christ. I pray for them, Father, and lift them to you. Father, I pray that we would take seriously this time to be mindful of people we love that are lost, to pray for them by name, to pray for them out of the overflow of our heart because we want to see them saved. Father, have your will. Have your will in this invitation. In Christ I pray. Amen. Amen. As we stand together and sing this hymn of invitation, friend, you've heard the message this morning, and the wisest